A couple of weeks ago, we examined a passage of Scripture out of Mark chapter 14 that reminded us that Jesus sang. Jesus led his disciples in singing after the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, and then as he headed towards the cross, he found it within himself to stir up the expression of praise to the Lord, to the Father, knowing what faced him, and that was to take on the cup of God's righteous wrath against our sin. And yet he sang because he knew he could trust in the Father, and he also knew that he would be raised back to life and then he would be brought to the Father. He was aware of all these things. In John chapter 13, that's the reality, the narration at the beginning of that chapter that we find. Jesus was fully aware of what his mission was and that the Father had promised to fulfill all of that. And it was because he trusted in the Father. This week we're going to look at an Old Testament song, Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. Eight verses, it's not very long, but it is part of a number of songs that are praise and thanksgiving and reflection as worship is about to take place. But this particular psalm points to the one who is the provider for Israel, the provider for God's people, those who belong to the Father and on this side of the cross through Christ Jesus, by grace through faith in Him and His work. And with all of their salvation settled, can come to the Father and worship, knowing of the benefits and the provisions that He makes. And so this song is a part of a reminder and an encouragement to those worshipers. I'd like for us to stand as we read these together, verse 1 through 8 in Psalm 121. The psalmist writes, "I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? Where does my help come from?" Some of your translations may say. "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage, among others, in a context of approaching worship. Father, that reminds us that you're a faithful God, and that should be on our minds as we come into this place to worship you, as we enter into opportunity to serve you, whereby we will worship you in that way, as you give us opportunity through every single day to represent you, that we would not forget of all that you provide for us. Lord God, speak to our hearts this morning. Give us understanding. Help us, Father, to be moved to walk in the obedience of these truths. To your glory, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This song is one of the songs that were sung by the Hebrew pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem to worship the Lord God at the temple. Now, God gave Moses a law, and that was that the men who were Jews, the men, at least the men, had to make three trips every year, three pilgrimages to the place that God had chosen for His name to be, that they would worship three particular feasts. They were commanded this, and in those days there was a tabernacle, or there was a specific place that they were to go to do so. But once they were established in the land, there would be places, one place, Jerusalem, where they would go and have to make this trek. And the Jews implemented a specific group of songs, we call them psalms, that were sang as they approached this special time of worship, as they moved from their home to the place where worship was required. And that's why we have this called as a song of ascents. In my Bible, there are subtitles under each one of these, in chapters Psalm 120 all the way to Psalm 134, little subtitles that say a song of ascents, a song of ascents. This is a song that as you're ascending to the place of worshiping God, these songs are on your heart and you're singing them. You're bringing them to the Lord as part of your worship approach and preparation for worship before God. And they were ascending to the holy city. No matter where you are in Jerusalem, when you get, or in the land of Palestine, when you get to the area where Jerusalem is, you have to go up to get to the city of Jerusalem. Elevation, you have to rise up to go there. When we were in Israel a couple of years ago, we stood on the Mount of Olives across the Valley of Kidron, and we looked over at Mount Zion and Mount Moriah, where the mounts are, the Temple Mount, and we had to go down to the valley and then back up to the city. And no matter where you were around that area, you had to go down and back up to get to Jerusalem, to get into that city. You're ascending, and it is the beautiful picture of us going up to the presence of the Father. This was what the Hebrews experienced as they approached Jerusalem on their pilgrimage, to go up in elevation and spiritually to approach the Father. And that was to prepare their hearts for worship. As they approached, they sang these different songs along the way to remind themselves of why they were going to worship. What are we going for? And so within these songs, we find great, great information and that which can encourage us. But in this one psalm, we find some benefits of the provision that the Lord brings. And so we're going to kind of highlight that this morning. The first distinct provision is strength. In verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, I will lift up my eyes to the heavens, to the mountains, and I will ask this question of myself, where does my help come from? And we've talked about this in the past. It doesn't come from the mountains. The help comes from the one who created the mountains. The help comes from the one who's creator of the heavens and the earth. Of all the things that we know and experience in life, the help comes from Him, the Lord. Now, mountains are beautiful. My very first time to see mountains that I remember was when I was as a youth sponsor going to Ridgecrest. And the charter bus we were riding on was entering into the area of North Carolina where the mountains were. I had been sleeping, as were most on the bus, except for the bus driver, thank goodness. And I made my way up to the front of the bus where he was. And the front of the bus had this large window. And you could see, out of your peripheral, you could see all the area. And that morning, the sun was coming up over the horizon. And I went up to the front and brought my Bible and was doing some readings out of Psalms. And I don't even remember which Psalms, but it had been reading about the mountains. And as I saw, as we approached, it's like the mountains began to rise out of the ground over the horizon. They just started to show up on the road up ahead. And the view was majestic, and I was overwhelmed, began to weep. And the bus driver turned to me and said, first time you ever saw mountains, huh? And I remembered it wasn't just the mountains. It was thinking about the God who made those mountains. Listen, no mountain can get you out of a bind, but the God who made the mountains can get you out of every bind. He is the one who has the strength and the power to deliver you, and that's exactly what He has done. He has delivered us, and while the Jews were on the other side of the cross and the resurrection, they still looked forward to the deliverance of the Father. That's why they worshiped Him. They had experienced it coming out of Egypt, and they experienced it time and time again as the Lord delivered them in a variety of ways. And so our strength doesn't come from the earth, doesn't come from people. Our strength doesn't come from the government or vocations, relationships, or money. Our help comes from the Creator God of all things. And as those pilgrims approached that place, they had to expend energy to climb up the hill and then back down and then back up hills again. They needed the strength to get there. And God supplies physical as well as spiritual strength. And that's true on this side of the cross as well. We're all to look beyond this pulpit, look beyond the platform, and look beyond the cross that's hanging over the baptistry. We're to look to the God who has provided salvation through Christ Jesus by his incredible wisdom and power, and by his divine appointments has brought for us a Savior who supplies all our strength. He has more than enough for any need that we might have. And so in these first couple of verses, thinking about where's my help come from, it comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. So he's our strength. Secondly, we find a distinct provision in the support that he provides, not only the strength, but in keeping us, not only does he save us, but he holds us. Look at verses 3 and 4, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Our God is not distant. He is high and lifted up, but he has made his presence real with each one of us, and he is always alert and aware. Even when we're groggy, when we're sleeping in the middle of the night, he is always there to hold us and to keep us. As a worshiper ascended in those days would notice the need for a sure footing to be able to not slip and to fall down. We've walked in those hills as we went and toured, and there's a lot of climbing, and there's a lot of places you could walk where you could be hurt if you weren't careful. And so the worshiper would remind themselves that their support and their keeping comes from the Lord. He will not allow your foot to slip. He will keep you, and he won't slumber. He'll keep all Israel, and he will not slumber. I like that he points out there's individuality. He will watch over each of you, and yet he will watch over his people as a people. He is able to do that. He is God, and he keeps. That word keeps is used many times in this passage and in some of the other passages in these songs of ascents. He keeps us. He is able to hold and to keep us. And that word is a Hebrew word, comes from the Hebrew word shamar. And that word can also be connected to shepherd. It has a lot of different applications, but mainly to hedge about, to guard, to protect, to provide for, to preserve, to save, to wait, and to watch over. This is what the Lord promises. He's going to hedge about us, and he's going to preserve and keep us and hold us and watch over us and not allow us to slip out of his hands. The great commission that Jesus gave in Matthew's gospel at the end says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. There's a great promise that Jesus said, I'll never leave you. And then when he did leave physically, ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own presence, to come and dwell within us. So he's never let us down. He has always kept his promise. And by that Spirit, he keeps us in his faithful hands. Those who believe in him are his own, and no one can take us out of his hands. He upholds his faithful ones, carries us to the destination that we're to be. The third distinct provision is found in the shade in verses 5 and 6. The Lord's your keeper remains with that, holding us and watching us. He is your shade on your right hand. He's your protection. He is the one that will not allow the sun to smite you by day or the moon by night. Now, we might think that the moon at night doesn't really harm us much, but there is the pooling of tides and such by the moon. When the moon is out, that means it's darker at night and there's dangers there. But the Lord's provision is available. The protection of the Lord is always there to keep you and to shade you. I like the idea that the Lord's hand, and we sang that by singing, He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock. By his hand he protects and shields. He shielded Moses from dying when he saw the Lord. He protects us by his mighty hand, by providing shade. And down here in South Texas, we can understand that imagery. Shade is a necessity. I spent Thursday this week, the 4th of July, went out and mowed the lawn. And thought I was just going to mow one part of it, and I ended up mowing the whole thing. And I'll tell you, thank goodness for trees in the yard that provided some shade along the way, because it was oppressive, and the shade was welcome. Oftentimes when we're going through life, we think about the discomforts and the oppression that we're experiencing. We call it fire. We're walking through the fire, or we call it the heat is on. We're going through the fire. Those kind of expressions remind us. And we can be reminded that the Lord provides shade in those experiences. He provides what we need to comfort us even in the difficult times. watching over you and providing protection. Lastly, we find a provision here, which is an automatic, the Savior. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. There's probably nothing more essential for the human life than to know that there's someone who has provided for your soul, one who has kept you from all that evil can bring against you. The Lord will guard you. You're going out, you're coming in from this time forth and forever. It's a promise, an eternal promise. But that evil cannot have those who belong to the Lord. As Savior, He is faithful to hold on to His own. And we noted that a couple of points back, where He won't allow your foot to slip. He'll provide for you. He'll keep you. He will hold you. He'll guard you and look over your soul. And we need someone to do that, because even on our own, we will wander away. We will mess up, and we will find ourselves eating of strange food and drinking of strange drink, and like sheep who wander around in a field. They don't know what's good for them. Oftentimes we don't either. But we have a Savior who, once He saves us and holds us, He keeps us, and nothing can take us away from Him. Evil cannot have the one that belongs to the Lord God, because of the grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Soul that's been cleansed and sealed forever is secure. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, the Apostle Paul, moved by the Spirit of God, wrote about things. A question would come up: who can separate us from the love of God? And then he says, well, who's condemning you? Who's the accuser? And then he says, but who's the Savior? And he says, it's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And no matter what it is in life, no persecutions, no powers, no darkness, no trouble, not even death, nothing in all creation can take you away from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. Nothing in all creation, because the Father has secured you. Jesus, in John chapter 10, passage where he talks about him being a shepherd, says that my Father holds you in the palm of his hand and no one can pluck you out. I hold you in the palm of my hand, no one can pluck you out. There's great security in our shepherd, the one who's the Savior, the one who is the Shamar, who keeps us all our days. And that imagery that spans the Old Testament and the New is that of the shepherd, Jesus, the Savior, our shepherd. David saw it that way, Psalm 23, and we're going to look at that in depth tonight. I encourage you to come so we can look at that shepherd psalm. David identified the Lord as his own shepherd, and he knew what a shepherd would be about because he'd been a shepherd. But he saw the Lord, his God, as his provider and protector and keeper, the shepherd who would watch over his soul and provide the strength that he needed and deliver him and rescue him from the trouble he faced. In the New Testament, Jesus identified himself as a good shepherd. That John chapter 10 passage. The Lord's not changed his MO. He's not changed his purposes. He's not changed his mission. It's different than what it looked like at first. He came to earth. He did good. He offered himself as a sacrifice, and he left. When he hung on that cross, his last words were, "It is finished." And then, "Father, I commit my spirit into your hands." And he finished it. He did everything needed to be done, and now it is up to us to believe and to trust him and follow him and allow this shepherd to minister to our lives, allow him to faithfully provide for his own every hour that we need him. And we sang about that earlier as well. Listen, if you belong to him, you should be encouraged. You have a faithful God. He has provided for you. He will not allow you to slip out through his hands. You belong there and you're safe and secure. You should worship him and thank him and declare him and serve him. If he's not your shepherd, you're lost. You'll just wander around and you'll find strange ground to walk on, and you'll go in the wrong places and you'll be attacked by predators. But if you will allow the shepherd to rescue you, and he's done all the work necessary, he's gone to the cross for you, he's taken on your sin debt, you can't do anything about that, and he's taken care of all of that, and the Father was favorable to him and so raised him to life, and now Jesus has ascended and has sent the Holy Spirit to come dwell within those who will believe him. So all that's required of you is to believe, to trust the Lord. If he stirred you and drawn you to himself, you'll know it. Your heart will respond. And you'll begin to experience him as a great provider of things that you could not have otherwise. That which will ultimately satisfy your soul. So the invitation today is, if you have trusted the shepherd, then declare it. Praise Him and thank Him. If you have not, His invitation is, come to Me. All you who are weary, heavy laden, I'll give you rest for your souls. Let us respond to this shepherd this morning, a great provider. Let's pray together. Father, as we enter into this time of our worship where we yield to You and we acknowledge that You are indeed the sovereign, You are God and provider, Father God, that we would respond in a way of obedience and gratefulness and faith. Lord God, thank You for opening our eyes, helping us to see truth, helping us, Father, to be convicted in heart so that we might bow before You and surrender so we might know life eternal. I pray this morning, Father, that we find ourselves beneath the foot of the cross and again imploring You, Father, have Your own way with us. Move in our midst to Your glory, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.